boy.
I know them dudes you mess with usually be frontin'. All I gotta do is call his name, he coming. No taxin', all action, what you need from him. He'll provide anything you need, if you just believe. All it takes is faith the size of a mustard seed. And you can reach any goal that you trying to reach. My plug love stretch far away beyond the streets. No petty-ish, my plug on that heavy-ish. Think Sosa mixed with Ox off that belly-ish. Yeah, I know you like the sound of that. Been searching around for that, you on my head, trying to see where I found him at. It was early one Sunday morning. I was down on my luck and plenty storms kept forming. Just trying to find a way. I prayed to God to see better days. Then he told me that he got me, I'm forever straight.
You look around, you need that love. Got many blessings and they from him above. Because I quit hustling, slagging them drugs. You ask why? Don't need for bucks, all he need is your trust. For you to praise him when you get back up.
Now I've been getting up with God about a year straight. And everything been smooth, yeah, I've been straight. He ain't never told me no, maybe just wait. And he always been on time, he never been late. Sometimes when I be tripping and get impatient, he made me realize I'm winning cause of his greatness. He said his grace and his mercy endure forever. If I repent of all my sins, he'll forgive whatever that I did in my past, knowing it wasn't right. If I turn away from sin, he'll give me a new life. So I tried him out, it only made sense. Now I'm on the ground for Jesus and I can't quit. The devil want me to fall and yeah, I may slip. But God wrap his arms around me so I can't trip. Now when I go out in the world, his blessings are with me so I can let my light shine. That's just the God in me and you can be the same way. And have the same faith, but you gotta change. Cause me, I ain't the same Dre. It won't happen overnight or all in one day. But he's able by the children, man, my God don't play. So is you down with it? What you trying to do? You wanna call him up? Well, this is how you do it. Get down on your knees and keep your head to the sky. Make a promise to the world that you gon' serve God.
You look around, you need that love. Got many blessings and they from him above. Because I quit hustling, slagging them drugs. You ask why? Don't need for bucks, all he need is your trust. For you to praise him when you get back up.
It's your boy, Ariel Jones.
Of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, Bless the eyes of our understanding to be more enlightened, that we will more know what is the hope of your calling. Bless us to grow in the knowledge of you, Lord. Bless us with the knowledge of your will, and give us the strength and courage to carry it out so that we can walk up front before you, amen, and be fruitful in every good work. Father, we pray for those that are yet facing challenges, amen, in areas of disaster. Lord, bless them, amen. Give them the revelation they need to have victory even in this hour. We thank you for it right now. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I'm still on this subject of prayer rules. And because prayer is so essential, you know, the thing is, most people have, it depends on what your, depends on you as an individual and where your pastor's mind is. Because it's sad, but we you know, all we can do is pray about it. But a lot of, right now, a lot of men of God are struggling with the issues that are going on. And I'm hearing excuses that aren't real, you know, but, you know, trying to explain what is going on. You know, the reality is, okay, there's a phrase that's common that I've heard for years that really is, I would say, like this is only half true, and that is God is in control. God is in control in the lives of those who allow him to be in control. As far as the world, when God gave Adam dominion in Genesis 1:26, that remains intact. And whatever God does, he does through man. You have to understand that this is what's been going on. That's been, we in our generation, I would pretty much say, have the full story as what do we need to be doing as compared to the characters in the Bible that did not have a Bible, that only had what God revealed through his prophets, and getting that word around and getting a chance to break it down and analyze it and apply it, because it's not as simple as it seems, and that's obvious when you look at all the confusion. This is why, you know, we have so many different, quote, denominations. Well, we had to look at the numerator, and that's God, and go, and his word, and stick with that. You can't go wrong there. Nobody, you know, and I know people have their various interpretation, but you know what? The one thing about praying daily, being involved with God in prayer, is you become more sensitive to his will and him realizing that you are seeking to do his will. He will make corrections. He will speak to you and make corrections, and it will always line up with his word. While I'm at it, turn to in your Bibles, if you have it, electronic, whatever you got, flip through it, click through it, to 1 Peter chapter 2, and verses 5 and 9. You know, it's something I've run into people when you see these things in the Bible, when you see what I'm about to read, you have to realize the magnitude of what is actually going on in our lives. See, I don't know if I'm accurate with this, but I'm going to say this. What they call us religious, when in actuality, religious is the opposite. They religious. People have their little rituals and their beliefs, but they don't match the word of God. See, walking in righteousness is not being religious. The reality that what's in the Bible, kingdom of God, and soon it will be the only way of life. See, people can have all their opinions. But it doesn't matter because, see, that plays a major role in how God will judge. Because from the beginning of this, it has always been about being submissive to God. And one thing dictates your level of submission is your prayer life. I mean, that says a lot. I understand where people are. And how they habitually do not pray, but you have to accept the fact that that is something that you have to make yourself do. See, that's what submissiveness is. God has His will, you have your will, you will bring your will under His will, and you will make yourself do His will above your will. Now, prayer automatically says that there's someone higher than you. Commonly, particularly in civil court, you will hear the term pray used by attorneys. Your Honor, this is what we pray. They lay out what it is they want in the lawsuit, and after they've stated all the events of the lawsuit, and I don't know if there's any of these online on YouTube, but you'll hear them, they'll end and they'll say, when they put their petition out before the court, they'll say, this is what we pray. Okay, so prayer, one, is in a sense, like I said, it acknowledges that there's one higher than you with authority, and this person has authority over the domain from which you are seeking help from or an answer from. See, I know we think of, they think a term, and until I got in, actually heard that in court, I never thought of prayer in a, quote, legal sense. But when you draw the pieces together, for instance, we have a covenant with God. That's what it is. A covenant is in essence, a constitutional right. We in America recognize what a constitution is. And almost every government has some type of document or set of rules and laws that they abide by for the citizens of that country. They have one for the citizens of the country, one for the citizens of the state, and one for, you know, whatever, a dominion or whatever they call them by, districts. And in this case, we have a covenant with God. Now, what you have in Christianity is the manifestation of what God intended in day one. But it's always been a part of the program, as I can say or would say, that there would be one lesser addressing one higher. The priesthood, which I'm about to read, this is called the royal priesthood, began in the beginning in the Old Testament. It's a level of authority that God gives man, that God allows man to represent man to God. He intervenes just as an attorney intervenes, just as Jesus now intervenes, makes intercession for us. And these are terms you really need to really get into your being. Let me read this first so, you know, you can write these down or study them later. We're going to go back to the point of origin or the point of the law anyway, where it becomes, I guess you would say, concrete. Reading from 1 Peter, and it says, you also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore it is contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded or confused, you know, or live in doubt, wonder. Unto you therefore which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. A stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto they are appointed, also they are appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And I've really come to understand that in this life, because, you know, I was truly in darkness, you know, when God delivered me. You know, everybody think they're in the light until he shows them that they're in the darkness. But now, these events, this is the thing that, how we going to go to Exodus chapter 19 and verse 6, 19:3-6. And the reason is because, see, what you have in the Old Testament is the beginning or where God started. Or the Old Testament, you have what they call types and shadows of what God intends. Like I say, Christianity is God's finished product of man, the man-God relationship. It is, but the fullness of it hasn't manifested, but it is about to manifest. And that is because, again, we're talking immense power that's going to be handed to us as individuals. You know, that prayer commands so much when you are praying that it really helps you to see how much power you command. You really have to allow yourself to take in the spiritual realm, to see the spiritual realm. Because the reality is something that really happened. You're not just saying some stuff. You know, you have to get involved. When the more you get involved and the more results you see, the more you begin to realize that you play a serious role. One of the things that's going on right now in the world, okay, you got people that are wondering what God is doing. You know, I saw an interesting conversation on a Christian website yesterday. You know, it was a live conversation, which was really kind of unique and fun. And an atheist dropped in. And the discussion was about COVID-19 and how it's being handled. But those of us that are mature in Christ realize it ain't the government that can fix this. It ain't even the pharmaceuticals that can fix this. Let me tell you about this disease. As soon as they come up with a vaccine, it will change its COVID will change its nature, and the vaccine will become ineffective within no longer than a week. You ask a medical professional how because there's so many aspects about a vaccine. There's your personal chemistry. There's the air that's around you. There's the foods you eat. There's so many things that the only real way to settle this is from the power of God. And every Christian has this power on the inside, but they haven't been taught to use it. This is a faith issue. You know, I use a phrase a lot of time when I'm on Facebook, and I'm like, welcome to training day, final exam. This is where we are. We're in the final exam. God has given us the power. He has given us his word. He has given us teachers to show us how to use his power. And in the process, it's now on us. Y'all been to school with most of y'all. I don't know. You know, I don't know how young or old you are. Some of y'all might still be in high school, you know. But you've been in school long enough to know. You know that when you go from one grade, one level to the next, you have final exams. And that's where we are in history. Man is having final exam. God is literally sitting down watching what his people will do. Because, like I said, he's given us all the tools. You can't get more power than the Holy Spirit of God. It can't get greater than what it is right now. You can't get more. See, and a lot of people, because the earth don't shake and we can't fly and we still have to do things that are common to man, and we don't do miracles, or miracles don't happen every day, we don't really believe we have the A-class, the number one, only existing Holy Spirit of God in us. But we do. And because, like I've been saying, if you've been following, when I say on training day that a human being has 100 times, 1,000 times, maybe 10,000 times the power of an angel, you by yourself could obliterate this planet. God cannot afford to let you have more than what we have. When we're sitting right under the master during the millennial reign of Christ, we will really begin to see that, because our structure. Remember, my primary scripture is in 1 John. Dear friends, now we are the children of God, and what we be has not yet been made known, but we know when he appears, talking about Jesus, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And then in Philippians 3:20, for our citizenship is in heaven, we eagerly await our Savior from the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. We think so lightly of that. All we know is we think that that is going, all that means is this: we're going to have a pain-free existence. And that's all we're going to do for the rest of eternity, you know. I have to live with the reality that it probably won't be no drag racing when Jesus comes. I'd find a new hobby, you know. It's some things you really have to think about. But the fact is, I don't want to get too far off in there. You have to review some of the other. Just go to God about it. That's the main thing. That's the number one thing. Don't just. Go to God and ask him to reveal it to you. He'll show you some things. He'll dream, send you some dreams that'll make you wake up. And I guarantee you, he'll show you some things you can attest to as a reality, but you will not share everything he say to you or show you. Because God knows some stuff, man. He really do know some stuff. So, you know, the reality is, we are in the very beginning of life. I know we've been down here 5,000 years, and we think we know some stuff. We got our little degrees, and we got our little engineering, and we know some stuff. And we do some stuff, like now they're talking about going to the moon in 2024. And that's all good, you know. But I can tell you for a fact that the moon, that trip to the mathematics, that it takes to go to the moon is part of our basic math system, which is about 4,000 years old, you know. Now, you say, what has all that got to do with prayer? The issue is power. The issue is power. The body of Christ, you as an individual, are not going to be able to. Now, let me say this right front, because, I get comments, and, you know, I can handle comments. You know, I work in law enforcement. You can't say nothing nasty to me and shock me. If you go all your life as a Christian and never pray, you won't go to hell. but you will appear before God empty-handed. If you think back last week, I talked about this man named Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, how his prayers and his giving came up before God as a memorial. And when you read in the book of Revelations, it shows you the prayers of the saints arriving and how the incense played a role. You know, it basically the incense burning was the state, reveals the state of the heart of the individual. This is one of my statements. Prayer works by faith. Faith works by love. And God is love. And when you pray, you release God into a situation. Like I said, God works through man. Now, let's get to where the problem is. And that's in James. Just for those of you that don't know, this James is Jesus Christ, younger brother. He's not a stepbrother, and anybody want to argue with me, you had to explain step to me. You know, I could see if there's no connection, whereas the person is a adopted member of the family. You know, they don't share the same mother or the same father, you know. Because you have cases where they might have a different father or a different mother, but they both share one of each. When they share none of each, I could see that as a stepbrother. But James, even though they had different biological fathers, Jesus' father was the Lord God, creator of heaven and earth, Holy Ghost. James' father was Joseph in the Bible. But their mother was both Mary. Okay? Now, again, this is one of them statements, we look at it, and because we don't get hit with a plague or something, we don't think it's that serious. Well, you know, it is serious, because if it says sin as it does, it says, James is talking here, James 4:17, he said, therefore, him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. And a sin is a sin. It's called the sin of omission. It's when you omit to do what you know to do. Now, let's think about the reality of who set all this up. And that's God. I mean, he could have done this a different way. Or he could have did it, you know, he could have did it a different way, but he didn't. All of this has purpose. And like I say, we have the fullest benefit. Our generation can't make no excuses. You know, we just got too much. I mean, I pull up, you put prayer in on YouTube, and you get 45 different preachers, teachers coming across. So there's no excuse for us to say we don't know it. It takes energy. It takes energy. Ain't no doubt about that. It's gonna take some energy. It takes determination. But above all, what will make you use the energy? What will make you move in your determination is love. Wanting to see God happy. Do you know? You just gotta imagine the joy God get when a person gets saved. They rejoice with you in heaven, but it makes God happy. You may think, because you know when you pray for somebody, you know, like I go out and I meet different people and I pray with them, and if I don't, I pray for them. You know, because some people don't want you to pray with them, and that's all good. Okay, but you know I've experienced some strange events in my time. But I've seen the manifestation of what happened. Particularly, I really used to say my mother was in there talking to the bed. You know, I didn't know she was actually talking to God. You know, because we want to see God. We think we want to see God. Let me tell you something. If you last heard Paul saw God, I don't know. Jesus now is a different situation, but you don't want to see him. you might want to. I would be scared. I'm gonna be honest with you. I had a chance to look, just to peer into heaven once, and I chickened out because I'm telling you, we don't really get this. This was 40 years ago. I was vacuuming the church, and it was a little small church that I began in, and I had told God I wanted to look over there. But let me tell you something. He opened that gateway. You know, those of you that praise God like nobody, like nobody's watching. You know, those that just forgive and let go and praise God because you know you is between you and Him. You know, and you feel His presence. And you know, and you just have tears of joy. See, you can relate to this. See, the rest of y'all be sitting there watching us, thinking we just being silly. But listen, there's an exchange that goes on. See, that's where you get the power from. Now, when He opened up them gates, you know, I don't know what He did. All I know is I was facing the back of the church, and then the direction I was looking at, all of a sudden, it got bright, and I knew that if I looked around, I'm talking about brighter. It was high sun outside, and it was brighter than that. But the presence was so awesome. All I could do was lay down on the floor prostrate. I didn't care about dirt or nothing. I just laid down because I felt you don't feel worthy to be in His presence. That's why you see people kneel all through the Bible. I'm telling you, there are times, listen, submit to God in your home. Because one day we're going to talk about eating. You know, somebody said something, I agree. You know, eating is where you meet God. You know, like I said before, when you're praying, when it said come boldly before the throne of God, God does not see the environment of earth that you are in. He doesn't see you dressed as you are. You put on your priestly garment when you go before God. It is manifest. That's Christ. That's what God sees. Christ. That's another whole teaching by itself. You want to get? You don't have to wait on me to get there because I don't know when I'm gonna get there. If I'm gonna get there, we don't know when the rapture gonna come. But you gotta get it when you go before the throne of God. God sees something different. You have power when you have been given righteousness. That means you have carte blanche. You can open the door. You can go in. You listen. You step up to the front of the line when you go up in there and you pray for Israel. Pray for the priests of Jerusalem. You go to the front of the line. When you pray for your pastor, you go to the front of the line. You mean something. I don't care if the world don't mean nothing, it don't believe you. I don't care if some of the saints don't believe you. You got to believe God. I'm telling you, this thing is awesome. This is why Paul said when he went to the third heavens, he saw things that wasn't lawful to speak of. This is far beyond what we know. But prayer, spending time with God, will help you. Will get you to the level of maturity where God will reveal more to you that will encourage you. You know, you see, you know, there's some things, like I say, pastors share all the time, but there's something they never share. They don't even mention. But you can tell by their drive and their momentum. And it ain't like they make it look so easy. They driven because it's nothing like the knowing God loves you. You know, it ain't nothing like being hugged and kissed by God. I'm telling you, that drives you, that motivates you. So when you pray for somebody, particularly somebody that nobody wants to pray for, I can think of some people right off the bat. But God only sees, God doesn't see the coal, C-O-A-L. He sees the diamond. He sees the finished product. And He can't get it done without you. So, but to neglect that, it's an act of hatred. I mean, that's the simplest I can put it. You know, because it doesn't take, it takes, concentrate prayer. Like my first prayer of the day begins, it's usually an hour long or more. Okay. That was an assignment I was given way back in the 90s, usually between 3 and 5 in the morning. And I couldn't give God no excuses, you know, like how much sleep I'm going to lose. Because God, Holy Spirit, told me to ask for rest once I complete my work. And he gave me enough rest that 8 hours of sleep can't produce. I'm telling you, God got it. You listen. But it is the joy of being in servitude to God. You know, I even have another phrase I use. It's service to God. Being in service to God, serving God with prayer, serving God with prayer. God can't fix this nation's problems without the saints praying. It is not up to them. The fires that are going on in California, that's a prayer issue. They need to be, the fact that it disturbs me that they're still going on. It disturbs me that rain hasn't rained them out. And it isn't an issue, definitely not an issue too hard for this. Now, this is my own personal observation, okay? This is not a run up for Christ observation. It's not a word of faith observation. This is a training day Richard Overall observation. That fire out there ain't the judgment that people think it is. It is not judgment for sin per se. Matter of fact, the judgment, if any judgment, is James 4:17. You know, think about this. Think about this. The average Christian go to church on Sunday, okay, and then they go home or they go to dinner, and that's it. They don't pick up their Bible and read it. They all the way from that Sunday to the next Sunday, it's most of them don't even do silent prayer, which is I can't even equate that. can't even explain silent prayer. That doesn't fit the definition. That's an oxymoron. Okay? And then, so they do nothing. That, to me, is how you define being religious. I'm only interested in living good enough, hoping to get to heaven. And I often find people that don't spend time with God, if you ask them, are you sure you're going to heaven, they don't really jump up and say, yeah, I know for sure I'm going. Because they're not sure. Why? Why are you not sure? If you're not sure, you better find out if you better get God to verify it. But this whole, you don't read through the Bible and see disconnect. You know, it's the Old Testament. When you read the Old Testament, listen, don't try to break down right away the first time you read the Old Testament, every terminology, every doctrine through there. Watch the interaction between God and man, because that's what goes on consistently in the Old and New Testament. In the Old Testament, you get a lot of activity from God. God is very vocal. You know, it's something because you find events in there that where God is intervening. You know, when God get ready to do something in earth, Amos 3:7. Let's read that, because we're gonna look at some stuff. I want you to see how important prayer is and how important people that pray is, because you as an individual, like I say, you don't need a title. They didn't have titles. Titles, and that was another thing. Even though the Bible have offices, okay, I forgot where I said we was going. Oh, Amos 3, okay. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Amos 3:7. It's another one of the powerful scriptures. It says, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. Now, the prophet, and just as a help. Okay, I'll put it like that. That's the best way. My pastor, Keith Butler, did a teaching of the office of the prophet, which was really unique. And it's on YouTube for those that are interested in understanding the office of a prophet. Because apparently I can imagine as we get close to the end, a lot of pastors are going to be called into that office. As to simply put, they're the mouthpiece of piece of God, and it comes from spending time with God. And it, and the thing is, one of the simple tests for a prophet is everything what they say come to pass. You know, now prophesying and being a prophet are two different things. John 16:13. Let me get this right because I want you to have it right. The Holy Spirit. Well, yes, John 16:13, it says, howbeit when he, talking about the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. So you can, that knowing future events, particularly people that spend time in prayer, particularly, especially those that spend time in prayer in the Spirit, you become so saturated with the Spirit of God, it's almost impossible not to know what's coming, you know, as they say, prophetic event. But that doesn't make you a prophet. God has shown me some things. I've shared some things that came to pass, but I know I'm not a prophet. And plus, I'm going to tell you this. If you read the Old Testament, prophets don't have a fun life. They usually get a lot of rejection, you know. it ain't what people think it is. People ain't gonna be. they'll get on your nerves even more. You know, like I said, that young man yesterday, he was upset. He say God failed with COVID. Like God, see he that, but that just see, again. I was impressed by all the Christians that responded. Maturely, we're going to pray for you. And they will talk to each other. Just lift him up in prayer because they know he don't have a revelation from God. And only the royal priesthood can go before the throne of grace to get God to give him a revelation. That's how it works. You will hear this phrase frequently. Everybody that is saved got saved because somebody, a Christian, prayed for him. Everybody that is saved got saved by somebody that was saved praying for them. There's no other way around that. That's how God intended. So when you want to see the events of the world change, when you want to see the world get better, it's on the body of grace. And then God waiting on us. We ain't waiting on him. He's waiting on us. He want to move. But we got to do the praying. Now, I'm not going to get into that because, like I say, this segment is only saying that prayer, failure to prayer, is an act of sin of omission, and it hinders everything that you do. See, a lot of people's lives is probably one-tenth of what God wanted to be simply because they haven't been doing what they know. You know, and it is no way, here it is in this day and age, that I can still run into Christians. They've been Christians for 30 years and haven't read the whole New Testament. How can you possibly do the will of God, which is a segue to my final segment, probably next week, or depending on how this one go, I don't know, God running this, which is be in pursuit of the will of God. You got to know what that is. Okay, what is the will of God in any situation? What is the will of God for your life? And I know how you, they don't know to pray. The Bible, Jesus said, men ought to always pray. How you going to always pray? And then you have to learn. And it really is a handicap if you're in a church where you or you the person that show up for church at 12 o'clock, church let out at 12:30, you know, I would purposely make sure church, the first time I heard them opening up with prayer, and I don't know, somehow I just felt like I was going to have to be able to do that. And so I would listen, and I picked up right away. I'll never forget, it was this sister praying, and I could tell she had just forgot all about us. I mean, but she was praying right, but you could tell she knew before whom she stood. You know, see, you're not just doing a ritual. You are before the very presence of an almighty God, and being Christian, that's the difference between all the other religions. They don't even know what this is about. They don't have a clue, you know. Case in point, I love y'all Muslims, but that's the brother explained to me what he is saying, how he is honoring God. Listen at them. They're honoring God five times a day. They call that prayer. That's worship. But I don't argue with them. My job is to pray for them, okay, so that they'll get a revelation. And it is working. Believe me, it is working. God is getting things done. I'm telling you, the biggest group of people getting saved now is over in the Middle East. Y'all Americans, we'd have had this from day one. The fact that folk wanted to be crazy and carry Bibles and not read them, that's our problem. California should not be burning like it is. Louisiana shouldn't be getting it. Yeah, I think they got some more hurricanes coming. They should be defeating that. And you can tell me that God can't. Listen, it ain't about in my opinion, the most sinful place. The most sinful place. It's Washington, D.C. That's what I was going to say earlier, and I let myself get discursive and get off track. California is not being punished because of, quote, sin, even though it has always been, because they're human. But that sin has persisted because lack of prayer has persisted. Let me say that again. That sin has persisted because the lack of prayer has persisted. Listen. Let's read one of the most quoted scripture. I heard this a lot when this COVID first broke out. Second Chronicles. I know y'all know it. You should know it. But then I got new people I know because I met new people. And this is God. Okay, this is Solomon. God responding to Solomon. Solomon and David, they encouraged me. With all their issues, God loved them to the max. They really encouraged me. Okay. It says in verse 12, the Lord appeared to him at night and said, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a temple for sacrifice. Now, I understand before that, Solomon had told God when he was praying, he said, like, the whole heavens can't hold you. How this little building gonna hold you? But that's where God, you the temple now. But anyway, that's another whole part of the lesson. It says, when I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land and send a plague among my people. Now, let me tell you this, how this, I can't explain the Hebrew language in this right now. Pretty much for those of you who can see me, I have my arms folded, okay? When God does nothing, when it signals that he is not going to do anything, the devil gonna clown. And that's what he's basically, in essence, saying, because, paradox is that God can do no evil. He can't. It's not in his nature. He will only do right. He can't say, he can't lie, he can't deceive. So when that get done is when he do nothing. Like they say, evil persists when the good men do nothing. So, it's because he has put in place a solution. And the solution is, it says in verse 14, if my people, which today is the body of Christ, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. See, it says, and now my eyes will open and my ears attentive to prayers offered in this place. Listen, again, we the reason COVID is still, well, I put it like this. COVID is still attacking people, but if you notice, he's been less effective in killing them. And, you know, I ran into somebody that had been attacked by COVID and it nearly took them out. And, you know, you can tell they're different. They're different. I bet they go to church now. But not only that, I bet you they pray now. No, at least they should be. Because that it's sad to get into that place where, you know, you have to realize you ain't all that. And life can go in a heartbeat. I mean, I stopped counting how many friends and relatives I was losing when it got past 40. That's this year since March. The saddest part is one of my closest friends. And you know, some of these people, I know they probably got over there and found out that, man, I didn't have to come. Because I know they wanted to stay. One was leading a prayer revolution. And I was shocked that they wound up over there. But then, again, I ain't going to get in. Somewhere there's a door open when that happened. I mean, you know, I done been attacked with bad stuff. And the first thing I go through is this is why I'm giving you these rules. This is not something I made up. This is something I learned from people that have been victorious. You know, like they say, you going to ask somebody, you want to be rich, you're going to ask somebody, you don't go ask somebody, Poe, how to be rich. You know, you go talk to somebody that cancer, you know. That first lady of our church, I'll never forget when she said, this was about 30 years ago, practice on the flu. See, I'm going to tell you what it takes to defeat disease. These rules and confession, particularly confession. But you got to have these rules. You're not going to beat flu. You're not going to beat COVID if you're in unforgiveness. Okay, you're not going to beat it if you're in disobedience. You got to put these things in alignment. There's going to always be people you don't like. You know, Romans 12:18 says, much as possible, as lieth in you, you know, be at peace with all men. So there's going to be some folk that find your last nerve. Or get some more. You want some more nerve, you pump it up in the Holy Ghost. Pumping up is in Ephesians 5:18, okay, being filled with the Spirit, okay, by singing psalms, hymns, making melodies in your heart unto the Lord. That's how you pump up the Spirit in you. Because you just want your mind sanctioned with the will of God. And when you are in the will of God, as has been said, you are in the safest, most fortified place in the universe. That's Psalm 91 territory. When you are sanctioning yourself in the will of God for the purpose of serving God. You can't get no better than that, see. It is not, to me, listen, now, there are some situations, I'll say this, because I'm not talking in that level of detail. You can get attacked because you're such a, this is why you need to be around praying people. See, you can be overcome, okay, it says one can defeat a thousand. So you by yourself can defeat a thousand demons. But if 5,000 come, you need some prayer help, okay? Two can defeat 10,000, but if 15,000 show up, you need to get a third party involved. I don't care if it's your niece and she's 5 years old. You need to get a third party involved. But now you got 100,000 strong. God set it up so it goes exponential. This is why you won't. I tell people all the time, pray for me, I'll pray for you. This is why you shouldn't. When you meet people at church, particularly folk you see praising God all the time, you want them to know your name. People that pray, you want them to know your name when they go before God. See, like I said, when I pray, it takes me time. When I go through the list, you know, I'm not going to teach on how to pray. I'm going to get to that point, laying it out, because, like I said, I got people that are totally oblivious to what I'm talking about, and they're new to this, and that's what this is about. I'm not about these, what they call them, old heads. Y'all folk been in the church 50 years, and you still don't know nothing, don't do nothing. This ain't for you. I'm looking at this young, new generation that has, Satan has given them so many distractions and so many myths and so many wrong information. I'm trying to help them to be powerful in Christ. And that doesn't mean, let me tell you this, God has given us in Timothy, he says, he's given us all things to enjoy. There's a balance to life. You know, the new Rolls Royce style. You know, Rolls Royce has always been a premier car, but I've never really entertained any of them until they come out with this newest version, you know. And, that was made for me. I know a lot of y'all probably out there riding in one and enjoying it, but you ought to thank God that he was thinking about Richard when he made it. Amen, praise God. Yeah, they say I'm God's favorite son. You God's favorite son, believe me. He don't have no non-favorites. Everybody's God's favorite. Well, the thing is, saints, listen. The solution right now to the world's problem, Christ. And if we do our part, God is going to do his part. He's waiting to do his part. But he can do nothing without us. If we join together. He can't do nothing without us. So let's put aside that and let us pray right now. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord. We come before you. Father God, we are right now, we put aside sin. We turn away from it, the sin of omission, and we repent. And we shall turn to you to commit to do your will in this time, in these end of days. And we thank you for your forgiveness for that. And we thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. Now, for those of you that this is just your first time listening, amen, especially my new friends, I know this is a change and a challenge, but one of the things that help get a revelation is having the Holy Spirit. And the only way to receive the Holy Spirit is you have to be washed in the blood, and that is... that happens when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So I'm going to give you that opportunity right now. And for those of you that may have strayed away and are trying to make your way back into the kingdom of God, because you see the days are short, you too can join in this prayer. It says, "Now, Lord Jesus, I know that I am lost. And I ask that you forgive me for my sin. I believe you came and died and was resurrected. And I believe you are alive right now. And I ask you to come into my heart and save me right now. And Father God, I thank you for your offer of salvation through the death and the life of your son. And I receive it right now in Jesus' name. And I thank you for it. And I thank you, Lord, that those of us that have returned, that have strayed away, that are restored, and we thank you for it right now in Jesus' name." You know, and like I say, just stick with this, because I'm going to eventually get into the details on how prayer works, on how to pray. I've got one more segment, and that is being in pursuit of the will of God, which is the Word of God. And how to get to know that you're in the will of God. Well, that's really kind of easy. It's the word of God. If you're in the word, you're in the will. That's the safest place to go. Then there are also assignments that God give you that is his will for you to carry out. And with that, I'm going to sign off and let you think about this and pray about this. And amen and praise God. So, amen. Turn it back over to you, producer.
I'm going hard for my God, like I went hard in these streets. Instead of chasing that money, I'm chasing G-O-D. Been trying to walk in this image since I've been forgiven. Just trying to let my light shine so y'all can see the God in them. I turned away from my old ways, said bye-bye to the dope gang. Put the guns down, open my mind to some new things. When I picked up that Bible, the devil ain't like it. I know that he mad, but I know Jesus is excited. Cause I'm about to grind for him, grind for him. Make sure he first in everything, give all my time to him. About to save a lot of souls just off of my influence. And no, I ain't a preacher, I'ma do it through my music. It's a wonderful feeling when you let the Lord use you. Feeling like Dietrich Heller, have your way however you choose to. Just let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm a hustler for the Lord, about to re-up with
it. I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. Yeah, I was living wrong, but it's too late to get it right. I can no longer go on living a sin-filled life. Man, I'm trying to be like Jesus. Jesus who? Jesus Christ. Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. And if you live it wrong, it ain't too late to get it right. You can no longer go on living a sin-filled life. Man, you need to be like Jesus. Jesus who? Jesus Christ.
Verse 2 is for those who probably know me from my past. Don't believe that I changed because they knew how I got down. Probably see me in them strip clubs or serving in them streets. Probably see me flexing bankrolls or swerving with a freak. I'm a two-time felon, what could the Lord do with me? Ain't nothing too hard for God, you just watch and you gon' see. Because the saint is just a sinner who fell down and got back up again. Devil had me on my knuckles, Jesus picked me up again. Dust me off, told me I should walk this way, talk this way. And any sign of trouble that I had that I ought to pray. I ain't worried no more. I tell you, I ain't stressing, man. It's power that I found in God. I tell you, it's a blessing. I ain't lying, man. Man, you should try, man. You keep on living by that gun, then you gon' die by it. Man, I ain't lying, man. Man, you should try, man. You keep on living by that gun, then you gon' die by it.
Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. Yeah, I was living wrong, but it's too late to get it right. I can no longer go on living a sin-filled life. Man, I'm trying to be like Jesus. Jesus who? Jesus Christ. Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. And if you live it wrong, it ain't too late to get it right. You can no longer go on living a sin-filled life. Man, you need to be like Jesus. Jesus who? Jesus Christ.
So now you know I'm a changed man. Got a new game plan. But I still rock, bust icy watches and chains, man. The Lord said, come as you are. He loved me for me. So all you older church folks, don't judge what you see. God judge up your heart. And since he changed your mind, don't judge before you get to know me. Make me change my mind. Too many youths left the church because they ain't feel love. The very place that pose the teachers are that God is love. How can you say you love God but don't show it? When you can love your haters like your brother, then you growing. And man, I'm growing. Growing through his word. Stop trying to do it my way and let God work. And now I'm feeling moving. My blessings keep improving. When I say I'm on the ground for God, you ask me what I'm doing. Well, I'm serving. I'm living for his purpose. Giving praise to his name at all times.
Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. Yeah, I was living wrong, but it's too late to get it right. I can no longer go on living a sin-filled life. Man, I'm trying to be like Jesus. Jesus who? Jesus Christ. Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. And if you live it wrong, it ain't too late to get it right. You can no longer go on living a sin-filled life. Man, you need to be like Jesus. Jesus who? Jesus Christ.